think we've only, we're only missing Councillor Duncan, and I'm sure he will join us. We have no members of the public here, so I don't think I need to do the emergency evacuation procedure. I think you gentlemen have been here often enough to know where to go, or just to follow Pete if there's a problem. Apologies for absence. Audrey. Okay, item 3, minutes of the meeting held on the 21st of September. I'm assuming members have all had time to read these. Do you need a few minutes to refresh your memories? Shall I take that as a no or a yes? You need to read them. Okay.
No, no, no.
No, you've read them. Okay. Right. Okay. So I propose those as a true record of the meeting from the chair. Can I have a seconder, please? Thank you. All those in favour? Yeah, for your voting. Work. Has it got a battery in it? The batteries are over there separately. Item 4, I have no matters of urgent business this evening. Item 5, declarations of interest. Do members have any declarations that they'd like to mention at this stage? No? Okay, thank you. So, item 6, Treasury Management Mid-Year Review. Peter, I think it's over to you.
Thank you, Chair. This is one of three reports we bring to members on an annual basis, and we're required to do that under regulation. We also bring a strategy report and an outturn report to members, and as the Chair says, this is the mid-year review. Paragraphs 8.1 to 8.4 of the report provide an economic update for members, and this is information which is supplied by our Treasury Advisors, Capita. As is the table at paragraph 8.2, which includes a forecast of the bank base rate through to 2019. And you'll see that from an investment perspective, things remain very bleak throughout this period. Capita have been forecasting a further base rate cut in November to 0.1%. However, the MPC met today and base rate remains at 0.25%. Having said all that, investment interest receipts are on target to achieve budget. Details of investments held at the end of September are shown at Annex B on page 13, and all investments to date have been made in line with the investment strategy approved at Council in February. In terms of financing for the capital programme, as members may recall, we still have a borrowing requirement of £320,000 towards the current five-year capital programme. Based on the progress of the capital programme to date and other available sources of capital funding, it's unlikely that we'll borrow the remainder of that money in the current financial year. Happy to take any questions.
Do members have any questions, please? Councillor Potter, first.
Only a very minor one. What does PWLB stand for, please? As in rate.
PWLB stands for the Public Works Loans Board, and that's where local authorities tend to borrow the money from.
Can you tell me when the forecast from Capita was actually created? Because I think it's wrong.
It seems completely out of date.
The table?
Forecast on interest rates.
As I show, we're all aware it's an ever-moving feast, and we do get updates regularly from Capita. It is the latest update, which was produced just prior to the agenda going out, actually.
Okay, do we have any further questions? No? Okay, thank you. Report is just for members to receive. That's correct. So, do we need to vote on it? Okay.
Yeah, receive the report and note the mid-year performance.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. The external auditor appointment for 2017-18. Let's take this one as well, Pete.
Thank you. This item is for members' information. It just confirms that KPMG have been appointed as the council's auditors for 2017. This is an extension to transitional arrangements made by DCLG following the closure of the Audit Commission in 2015. Members may recall that we brought a report to this committee in July on the proposal from the Local Government Association that Public Sector Audit Appointments Limited be appointed as the sector-led body to procure future external audit contracts for local government. The Secretary of State for the Communities and Local Government has now confirmed this arrangement, and we've received further correspondence from public sector audit appointments asking whether the council would like to opt into the national scheme. So we have until the 9th of March to reply to that correspondence, and our response must be agreed by council, so I'll be bringing a Part B item to the next meeting of this committee with a view to approval by council in February. Happy to take any questions, Chair.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, so that's just for information and more to come in the future, but a future committee. Thank you. Item 8, the internal audit, our first progress report for 2016-17. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll take members through just a couple of things that are referred to in the progress report. This is the first one, as the Chair rightly says, from our audit plan, which was presented to this committee in April this year. On page 22, it gives a kind of the audits on a page in terms of what audits we're doing, but also the timescales when we're likely to start the work for those audits where we haven't actually started the piece of work at the moment. We agreed that with officers in April and revised one or two small areas in September so that both officers and ourselves are aware that when work will be done and the timescales so that we can be accommodated with the work that we're doing. So that on page 22, members will be able to see that for all of the planned audit work this year. In terms of the completed work, I'll highlight to members Appendix B, which is on page 23, which is a piece of work we did, which was an unannounced visit to Rydale House to look into information security and the extent to which personal and sensitive data was being safeguarded. Members of this committee from last year will have may recall a similar piece of work, which the work this year sought to build on to see the extent to which progress had been made. From that visit in July, well, I suppose in simple terms, the opinions improved from limited assurance through to reasonable assurance, and we saw improvements in a number of areas in terms of the extent to which certain key safes were now being used and the clear desk policy was being observed. But there's still areas to improve. In the detailed report we provided to management, we have gone into more area-by-area information so that they can manage those particular issues with staff. and to continue to cascade the cultural improvements that are needed in certain areas to maintain data security. If I could just finally highlight the management agreed actions tab. We mentioned that the visit was discussed and agreed with Phil Long when he was here, and he was your information governance manager, and they were discussed at corporate management team, communicated through briefings and conversation with staff. In one sense, this is a slightly different audit in that the proof of the pudding will be in the eating, and what, as internal audit, we've been asked to do is to do a follow-up review between now and April to see the extent to which, again, the direction of travel of improvement in this area is actually led with people listening to the messages that managers are discussing with their teams and safeguarding and using key safes more and the clear desk policies being observed more, etc. I think I'll leave it at that if that's okay for members to allow any questions on the plan or the audit work that we've reported as part of this progress report.
Okay, thank you. Does any members have any questions? Councillor Potter?
Yeah, just looking at the actions there, is the management suitably reassured that the staff are well aware of this need for better security surrounding this personal and sensitive information and that the measures put into place will be adhered to?
Yeah, I think my experience is probably the same across the authority. The first time we undertook this process, it very much was, from my point of view, staff, well, why do we have to do this? We've given training. Staff are fully aware of the implications, I think, now around data security. And when we've fed the findings of this particular exercise through to staff, it's been a very different response. In my area, it's been one of shock and surprise that they've actually done that. And I think staff have taken it on board now.
Thank you, Councillor Gardner.
Looking at the plan and the number of audits that are coming up, can I just ask sort of how you do it? How many people are on it? How long do they last and what have you? Because there's three in December. It seems to be a hell of a workload. But I just don't really know much about how you work.
In terms of the team, there's probably four or five different people that have audited and will be auditing and doing that work. So we're not relying. It's one of the benefits, I suppose, of Verito is that we are 52, 53 people, I think. So we try and manoeuvre people around a little bit, but also for Pete and the work is to have people with an understanding of Rydale. So we've got in December, there's different officers who were involved in, but also different people doing the work as well. We tend to do the financial audits in the second half of the year, primarily, well, I think for two or three reasons. You need enough transactions to enable you to review whether a payroll system is paying the right people in the right way. Rob Walker from KPMG, for instance, is doing work at the moment on housing benefits. We want to wait for that to be concluded on before we come in and do our work so that we complement and not duplicate the work that they're doing. And also we're aware of the kind of towards transition with the 2020 programme that we've got, so we've focused on one or two areas that would be of use on that, but stayed away to allow the new arrangements to start to go in place so that we can reflect on those as part of our work. So I suppose going back to your first question, sorry, I think I've digressed a little bit, is team-wise we've got four or five people, you know, with a range of skills who are completing the work and who will be able to, at those timescales, be in because we've programmed in our work resource months ago to enable that to happen.
Have any further questions? Okay, thank you. Well, that's another item that's for information, and we will await the next report in due course. Thank you. So our next item is the KPMG annual audit letter. Pete, is this another one for you, or is this Rob? Rob, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, this is the annual audit letter is a kind of statutory requirement that is almost a throwback to a document the Audit Commission used to produce 9 or 10 years ago, and it was still in the Act. So what it does is it summarises the work for the year. Most of this is actually a shortened version of the report that came to the last meeting. It becomes more interesting if we've used any particular statutory powers. So, for example, if we produced a public interest report or if there were any issues about us not being able to close the accounts off. That sometimes happens if there is an objection, for example. In your case, there isn't. So this is a very kind of bland document that just really explains all the different aspects of the audit in summary terms. But it's only summarising things that have previously been reported to you. Very happy to take any questions on the document.
Thank you, Rob. Do any members have any questions? No? Okay, thank you very much. Again, that's for information only. So, moving on, item 10, moving to the scrutiny review on flood management in Rydal. And Becky, you're going to take this one.
Thank you, Chair. This review has examined the way or the role the council plays in flood management across the district, and a draft review document is attached to the main report, which members will recall we did discuss recommendations at our last meeting, and the recommendations contained in the review can still be amended. The main body of the report, there are no major changes that I'm planning to make, just a few edits that I think are required. So to summarise the work of the task group, which met 4 times during the course of the review, the main areas of focus have been the role the council plays together with all our partners, those being the North Yorkshire County Council, the Environment Agency and Yorkshire Water. The review also looked at the effect the Boxing Day 2015 floods had across the district. Information on the level of resources the council currently has to deal with a flood incident, particularly by the street scene team. We also arranged meetings and have discussed the work that the county council offer and support to communities in developing their own flood risk management. Their own community resilience plans, particularly around flooding, which is work we can continue to do with our communities. And we have discussed that recently at the ward meeting in Motherby, and there was a real positive approach to this in terms of developing a generic community resilience plan and then more specific parish or ward plans depending on the specific details of the flooding affecting that particular area. There was a real positive approach and appetite for developing that in that particular ward, which I think is something we can work on, continue to work on. We also looked at the study that the County Council had commissioned by ARUP into the Malton, Norton and Old Malton flooding, and understanding more about where that scheme is on the DEFRA granting aid programme. And the other important factor here was the importance of the whole catchment approach and thinking about natural flood management techniques, which are an integral part now in terms of how, not just in Rydal, nationally, the government's looking at how we respond to future flooding. And very timely, there was a report published yesterday on the future flood prevention nationally, which has some interesting recommendations, which I will just read out, actually, because I do think what has been said in that report does mirror very closely the work that we've done here. The key points include that flood management must include much wider use of natural measures, such as leaky dams, tree planting and improved soil management, which I know we've spoken about before, and Councillor Potter is very knowledgeable on this area, and our work did include discussing some details with him, which I'm sure he'll be pleased to see that. There's also a recommendation for a new governance model with a new National Floods Commissioner responsible for flood management in England. And there is a recognition that there is a need to improve how we help communities and individuals to cope with and recover from flooding. And there are proposals for immediate action to improve resilience to floods. And finally, the recommendations are that building regulations be tightened. I haven't looked at the report in any more detail and just that summary there, but I think that just, as I say, capture a lot of the things that the review has gone on to recommend. As I say, the recommendations are draft. I'm happy to go through any more details that members would like to discuss. I think I will just, to conclude, just say that I think what we have found is that there is already an established and effective framework for flood risk management, and the recognition that a catchment-based approach together with natural flood management solutions is the way forward to ensure that there is an effective management of flood risk in our communities. And the recommendations do aim to incorporate a wide range of solutions available to communities across Rydale. The Council isn't in a position to indefinitely support the flood management work. Our responsibilities do not necessarily reflect the level of recommendations that are included here. I'll leave it there. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Becky. I'd just like to say I think Becky has very well summarised the comments that were made and the discussions that we've had over the last few months. So I'm hoping that members have... We discussed this quite at length at the last meeting, and I'm hoping that members are happy with the recommendations. But as Becky said, she will take any questions. So do we have any questions? Councillor Potter?
Thank you. I've spotted quite a few typos, but I would have emailed you, but I haven't had time yet. But there's one in particular. It's on page 37, where it says Moulton and Norton and Old Moulton, £3.2 million project is included, blah de blah. Says we've got £1.2 million allocation and leaving 1.8. So which is the bit that's wrong? There was somewhere further down where it mentioned 1.8 gap again. So how come that should that really say 3.0 million project? Because the 1.2 that we've already got and the 1.2 that is the gap adds up to 3, not 3.2. So which is the bit that's wrong? It's the fourth bullet down on page 37. Page 2.
Is it under the Moulton Norton and Old Moulton flood study paragraph? My page is 43, I don't know.
Oh. Are we in the right?
Page 37.
Yeah, on 37.
Fourth bullet down.
Yeah, apologies. The scheme is 3.2 million in total.
Yeah.
And the funding allocation is the 1.2 million, so the difference is...
So there should be a 2 million shortfall rather than a 1.8.
Mm.
Oh, do you want to check up on
I
that?
I will check up on that, but yeah. I think the gap is 1.8, it's not 2 million, so I will just double check that and I'll let you know.
Yeah, and just for your information, on bullet number 5 near the bottom of the page, that also mentions the gap, funding gap of 1.8 million. So if that needs
the
changing.
I do know the gap is 1.8 million, so I will... Confirm the overall total.
Okay, thanks. I'll leave that one with you. Just under the recommendations to Council number 1 about this Moulton and Norton and Old Moulton flood study, we really need a plausible timetable for delivery of that because I get a bit fed up of hearing people talking about plans and reviews and all the rest of it and not talking about delivery. So that's just a general comment, because we really need to know the length of commitment to this post that we're considering putting money towards, and I'd rather like there to be some sort of a timescale on that. What else did I have? On page 43, third paragraph down, the one that's got the bullet and it's inset, where we're talking about any grant conditional on the preparation of a community resilience plan to ensure sustainability, etc., etc. And it's just, is there an outline draft pro forma sort of resilience plan to ensure that this job would be done efficiently, comprehensively, and to ensure consistency across community groups?
Yes. Sorry. Yes, there is a template already, and that's what every community would work towards completing.
Right. Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear that. I think that's all my questions so far, but I would like to say that it's rather nice to see that we preempted the EFRA committee report with an awful lot that's in here, and I see this as being an excellent piece of work, and congratulations to the officers that were involved in doing it. So hopefully the rest of the council will agree. Right, that's my lot.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Becky, but I thought we had some discussions about timescales on recommendation one.
There is a timescale in regards to a resource to actually work up some of the detail required to flesh out the study that's been done, which is is estimated at 12 months. And then once we get that resource in place, assuming we do, then we would be able to work up a timetable, then which we could then hope to deliver.
Thank you. Councillor Wainwright, did you indicate? Oh, sorry. I thought it was... Councillor Gardner, did you indicate you had a question?
No, I haven't got a question. I'm just looking at the point here. For Councillor Potter, on page 43 that you've just been on, is the figure right there, Becky, that the estimated budget 3 million rather than 3.2? Is that your answer there? Or have I got a different in the wrong place?
I think it's just best for me to say I will come back and just confirm those figures, because I haven't brought the table with me. I do apologise, but I do know the gap is 1.8, and I will come back and confirm those figures.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we've talked about 1.8 as a funding gap all along, so yeah, I'm fairly sure that's... Yeah, exactly. Councillor Wainwright?
In view of the flooding problems at Boxing Day last year, do we know how many parishes might apply for some of this grant funding?
Again, I'll come back to you with the exact total number, because I haven't got the detail with me here tonight in terms of the parishes, but from the top of my head, it's at least 10. But it does change depending on the event, so that could change depending on... hate to say it, anything that may happen into the future, but it's about 10. But what I would also say is, following the flooding at Christmas, all the parishes that were affected have been contacted by the County Council to start to make progress with community resilience plans, and it's been very slow in terms of the take-up. Now, whether if there's any funding available to parishes, that might encourage them to start to think about coming forward for some sort of help, that's what we're hoping that might do.
Councillor Jowett.
Thank you. I apologise, because I missed this document coming initially, and only received it a bit today anyway. But am I right in my reading of it now that all the references to pumping in Old Malton and Malton have been taken out of this?
No, if you recall, what we did is all the specific areas that require specific solutions will be captured by the recommendation where there's a funding pot.
I thought it had been agreed at the last meeting that the references to pumps at Malton and Old Malton would be left somehow in within the report.
No, I think the agreement was that they could be included as part of the grant scheme, so that those parishes, if they want to pump, can actually apply for part funding through the grant scheme. I think that's what was agreed at the last meeting.
Well, all I can say is I don't think that's the... Well, I'm sure that's not the impression that myself and Lindsay went away with.
I think it was. I think that was the agreement, and I think other members are here who were at that meeting as well, and would agree that that was the general feeling, which is how these recommendations came about. Because we talked a lot about making sure that all communities that are affected by flooding could have some resource towards their finding their solutions, whether they're small parishes or bigger communities, and that it made it. A sort of a fair use of our resources right across the district rather than just in the towns. So I think that was the conclusion that we reached.
Well, I'm not going to labour this point, but the original reason this came to council, this came to scrutiny committee as a project, specifically mentions Malton and Old Malton and Barrowby. And I'm very disappointed that there's no mention of those in this report, and I'm sure that there'll be other people on the council that would share that view. I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree with you.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I dispute the fact that there is no mention of Malton, Norton and other communities in the report. There has been, and we've discussed them all. There is reference to the bigger scheme that we're looking at for Malton, Norton and Old Malton in the report, and recommendation one is about taking that forward. But I think the view around the table was that for all the communities, including Broadby, Malton, Norton and Old Malton, the way forward was to assist them in their alleviating flooding, was that they could apply for a grant in order to do that, be that for a pump, be it for flood resilience measures, whatever is appropriate for those different communities. In Broadby, the appropriate pump for there. It's a different sort of flooding to what we see in other areas of the district. But I think the view around the table is that this was a fairer way of approaching it, that everybody then could apply to Rydale for support with their flooding problems.
If you just point you to the executive summary, if you read the first one, the scope of the review in summary is below, you'll see that it says, should, how, RDC respond to the fund commissioning of a technical support regarding the examination of full flood alleviation in Malton and Broadby. Sorry, I beg your pardon, page 36. Sorry. You'll find in that first scope of the review, it does mention that specifically. Not pumps, I don't think it says that specifically, pumps, but it does talk about that area.
Do we have any further questions, members? Councillor Duncan.
Returning to the fund, which parish councils will be able to apply for funding from. Obviously, now it's been broadened in that any parish council can apply for funding, and we've heard that, you know, that's potentially a fairer way of approaching it. I was just wondering if, I presume this £50,000 is a one-off amount of money. Becky, is it?
For members to decide, but that will be the initial amount that were in the pot, and then if it was used up quickly, I guess, then we'll come back and say, what would you like to do next?
And if demand outstrips supply, you know, there's lots of people interested in applying for these grants, how would decisions be made in terms of allocating those funds? Would each project be considered on its merits, or would it just be a first come, first served set up?
Well, I would have to say I would expect that the parishes that have been affected would apply to the fund. And if you remember, I think the allocation is either it's 20% of the value of their solution. So depending on what the solution is, it could be a small contribution from the fund or a bigger fund, and we'd need to look at the applications and decide exactly how we were going to administer it, whether we were going to give a time period, and that would be something that we would look to include in that particular scheme. We haven't set up a grant scheme yet, but we could do one very quickly, and we'd set up the criteria to make sure it was fair and that everyone would get a bite of the cherry, if you like.
So applications will come into Rydale,
yes.
And by the time that scheme was set up, there would be some procedure in place for how to.
Yes, we make it very clear, and
those.
I think what we're trying to say there as well is that, you know, there would be a need for communities to work with the county council to develop their own resilience plans. There's an expectation that we would fund a scheme subject to the meeting that criteria. And have training, and if it involves a pump, they would need to insure it. There's various different things that would need to be considered depending on their application, and we would work with them to make sure they have the support they needed to deliver the solutions.
Thank you for that. I do think you've done a really good job in terms of assimilating all the different views that we've had around the table. Putting those into some solid recommendations is obviously a difficult task. The only problem I can see arising out of some of these recommendations is that, let's say we put 20% into a variety of different projects, and 20% goes to, let's say, some pumps for Moulton and Norton, and they can't secure the other 80% of funding. We could have 20% allocated to 50 different projects, and actually none of them are going to be able to be realised because the funding isn't there from other groups matching that funding. That would be my only potential problem I can see arising with some of these recommendations, because all of them seem to be set at this 20% maximum.
If I could just say that they are draft. That 20% was trying to reflect a consistent approach as a partner, and if other partners were willing to contribute, then it doesn't have to be 20%. That's over to members to decide in terms of how they want to allocate the schemes. But what the overall recommendations do is secure that for every pound Rydale would spend, £8 would actually be spent in total. So that's the contribution and the value. Again, I haven't got the figure here tonight, but it was a significant amount of sort of investment into the communities from a 20% contribution by this council towards things that we perhaps actually don't have a statutory duty to actually provide.
And I mean, my response to that is also that I think other grants that this council has paid in the past, we've always expected that there will be some community contribution and effort into match funding. And from my experience, when we've looked at grants, when I've been on that committee, people do put that effort in locally, and I think that shows commitment to what they want to do and protecting their own, in this case, protecting their own community from flooding. So I think the safeguards around them working with the county council are also very good, because again, it shows commitment to them protecting their communities.
Yeah, I totally agree with the conditions that have been attached to those. It's just my only kind of fear looking ahead is that we may, for example, provide 20% of funding to sort out the Broadby issue, but they can't find the other 80. We may put 20% to sort some particular issues in Moulton and Norton, yet they can't find the other 80. I can't think of other examples off the top of my head. But instead of doing that, maybe we could have instead entirely funded particular projects which could have been almost entirely delivered. I mean, I don't know. I've not been involved in a grants process before, and I can't predict what's going to happen with this particular grant scheme. I'm just giving a little bit of a warning in that if parishes are going to struggle in terms of finding funding, then we might have to revise the way that we have approached this. And my other question that I was going to ask, which relates to recommendation 5, is we're talking about the 1.8 million gap for the Moulton and Norton and Old Moulton plan. This money will come from the new homes bonus. I just was wanting to ask what process would follow from if we approve these recommendations tonight, which by the looks of it we are going to. If these are approved, what process follows in terms of the amount of money that we're deciding, the amount of money that we're going to contribute from the new homes bonus to fill some of that gap?
I think Claire wants to come in at this point.
I just wanted to say something about the grants. I think, Pete, you could probably say something about the new homes bonus allocation process and the considerations around that. It was just on the grant funding. Usually when we offer, we have an existing grant funding mechanism, which is through the grants panel, which I was thinking we could easily utilise for this, in that they have a set of criteria around community grants, and they could so that's a member panel. Is it resources working party that do that? Yeah, and then the recommendations go through to P&R. So we could use that same mechanism for this pot, just with the different set of criteria, and they're quite experienced at doing that. In terms of the 20%, I think one of the things that's come through on the review from the beginning is that we share a responsibility for this, and that we're trying to pump prime, and I know it's a bit corny, but we are actually trying to pump prime this to try and bring other partners forward to actually realise some of their responsibilities as well. So I'm sure there will be much funding out there. It's amazing how our offices can kind of help communities to find much funding. But also, I think with this one particularly, because it's the parishes, they could, and I have always suggested this from my community development days, they can actually precept for things, I think I'm right in saying. I'm looking around at people who've been very involved in their parishes. So a parish could precept towards the cost, the match funding of the pump, so they could spread the cost over a period of time. They could also precept, presumably, to actually maintain it and look after it, because that is a big that is a responsibility for them that they will have to have in place. So I think it is an important part of any grant funding, actually, perhaps, that we don't 100% match funding. And I think a couple of the pump schemes have had some match funding put in place already. I think perhaps the Moulton one. I'm looking at Ed now, we might know, but I think there's some match funding been committed to the Moulton pump already. So, you know, we're not going from zero on some of these, and I think there will be other places that people can get the funding together.
I do agree with you there. I'm just thinking that if, for example, there was a project that might cost £2,000, which might solve an entire village's problems, they're going to get £200. Actually, it would be £2,000 that we could easily go and solve a problem there on behalf of a parish. Therefore, my kind of thinking is, well, do we delegate the authority to the grants board that you were talking about? Do we maybe, instead of dictating in the report 20%, do we say that we suggest maybe 20%, but it's for the discretion of that panel to decide that if there are particular schemes that they think could be very easy fixes for a particular community.
Perhaps with a maximum of, say, I mean, you could. It's up to you as a group, but you could say at the discretion, the percentage at the discretion of the grants panel up to a maximum of 2,000, and then beyond that.
Yeah, I mean,
just so that
just
doesn't all go on.
I
but that principle, you could establish that.
Yeah, I think 20% is just a. I mean, it's just an arbitrary figure, really. To contribute, obviously, for bigger projects that could be a sizable amount of money, but for smaller ones you could very easily solve some of the problems. I don't know how to turn this into something, I don't know, but I think I'd like to see that board, if they've got experience of allocating grants, to maybe have more discretion over perhaps smaller things that come before them, if it's, you know, an individual pump or a particular project for a parish.
Yeah, another suggestion would be maybe to have perhaps an amount that would be contributed, say up to £2,000, and anything beyond that, a percentage, just so we could do something like that maybe. We could make that the recommendation.
Because this report, then, these recommendations go to P&R, P&R could amend them if they wanted to anyway, and they will end up it's then that ends up being part of the grants making process anyway. I'm looking at Pete now, so it's a recommendation from here to them, which they can either take or amend. So,
I mean, I'm happy to move something if someone wants to come up with what we think is the best best figure. I mean, that was just an average figure I used of 2,000, but.
Well, the cost of a pump does vary, because you can probably get a pump for £5,000 if it's reconditioned, which would do the job. Or if you wanted a new pump, it would cost you £20,000. So depending on, you know, if you're taking a situation where a reconditioned pump would actually do the job in the times it's needed, then you would only need, in my opinion, to invest in a reconditioned pump, which could be £5,000. So then if the we gave 20%, then there's £4,000 to find through the precept or other ways. And again, I do think once partners realise what we're trying to do as a council, I can have discussions with my colleagues, and I can't obviously say what they're going to do, but I do think it has been suggested here, if we're making a commitment, I do think that we might find that others also will think about that too.
It's just a comment. I'd be a bit wary about using the precept, because you get very small communities out there, and if you've got a project that's say £10,000 and you've got only 40 houses in there, that's a very large. That's going to have a huge impact on those residents.
I think Claire was just suggesting that as an option. I mean, there are lots of actual local grant pots around that people can tap into for these sort of things. So,
perhaps
if I could just give you a bit of insight into the way that the funding has worked since the Christmas flooding, because even though we gave council tax discount to a number of properties and a grant that was, if you'd been affected, you qualified for the grant, that the take up there was very good. And I do know that the take up for the property level resilience grants, which the county have been administering, which was for up to £5,000 for each property affected, for residents to apply, the take up's been a lot less. Even though people have known that this funding's available, they haven't actually taken it up for whatever reason, despite being aware of it. So I think it's an interesting one. That isn't just in Rydal, that's across North Yorkshire.
Sorry, come.
What's the time limit on that £5,000 grant? Because that's the sort of thing that if people in a community decide they want to do something and they haven't claimed those grants, it could well be that you could get people claiming them, putting them together, and you've got quite a substantial fund there towards the scheme.
As I understand it, the grants are available to a property that's been affected, so it's property-based. But what I do know is if people haven't come forward, I'm liaising with Emily all the time on this at the County Council, there is still time. There wasn't a cut-off point.
Right, Councillor Aitken. Definitely this time.
Just a couple of points regarding the grants. When the grants are looked at here, although a figure of 20% is being bandied about here, all of the grants they've been looked at against what people have wanted to spend, and a judgment has been made as to how much should be released. It's never 20%, it's not an exact figure. So there's not a line drawn and you can't go above that line. It's looked at on its merits. And regarding precept, I hear what you say about precept, but if a ward got together and it has 4 or 5 villages in the ward, and each village raised its precept by X, that amount of money could be put together to cover a scheme that would support possibly whatever they want in that particular ward. It's just another way of doing it.
Okay, thank you, members. Does anybody else have any other questions, comments?
I was just going to say, in the actual recommendation on 4, it doesn't actually specify anything about 20%. So maybe the other thing we need to add in there is that the allocation of the grants should be decided by, was it the Resources Working Party?
The community.
Maybe if we add that bit in, if everyone's in agreement, then that would then mean that they can consider everything on a case-by-case basis.
We should maybe be explicit if you want that to be the mechanism for allocating the grants as well. If we can add that in.
I think that would be useful because then, if they so decide that a particular project is worthy of funding, then they can do that. There's nothing restricting them from doing that. I think that would be the only addition that, if everyone's in agreement, that to do there.
Members happy with that additional comment?
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. So. Okay, if we've got no more questions or comments on that, with that addition, will you be able to send these round again, Becky? Or I suppose it'll come to PNR next, so we won't necessarily need to see the report before then.
I'm happy to send the updated recommendations round before PNR, if that's what... It won't take long to update them.
Okay. I think that would be helpful. Okay. Thank you. So, can I move the recommendations and that this report go forward to the next stage to PNR from the Chair? Could I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Councillor Potter. All those in favour? Thank you. Plan on that now is that we'll go to Policy and Resources on the 24th and then hopefully we'll go to full council before Christmas. I think it's the 8th of December, full council. So thank you for that. And can I...
Sorry, Chair. One last thing that I just thought of as we were voting on it. When this grant fund gets underway and gets running, it would be nice maybe if members who are here but aren't on the grants committee, it would be nice to have an update on how they're proceeding and on also how match funding for the other projects and the recommendations is proceeding as well. I know usually that is posting resources, but it would be nice if we could have an update as well. I don't know on what basis, but ever so often of how
I think we can plan to bring some update back to the scrutiny committee, not a problem.
Okay, I think that's happened with other scrutiny reports in the past, hasn't it? So. Before we close on this one, Pete, we'd also like to talk about the new homes bonus because we didn't answer that question.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So just in terms of the new homes bonus reserve, we're currently working with members of the Resources Working Party. We had a meeting last month and we've got Resources Working Party this week. And we're working with members to try and prioritise schemes really within the capital programme, but also including what we've talked about today in terms of the funding for these flood defences. So in New Holland's Bonus Reserve at the moment, we've got about £1.7 million. And we're working with members through Resources Working Party to prioritise that amount. In terms of the schemes that we're looking at, potentially we've got well in excess of £1.7 million worth of schemes. So it's just working with members to prioritise that spend.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, moving on to item 11, the KPMG technical update, October 2016.
Yes, I am, Chair. Just a very brief summary of some of the issues that we're seeing in local government, and I can give you a very brief update on the work we are currently doing on housing benefit. So let's take that first. The last piece of 15-16 work is on the certification of the housing benefit claim, which is ongoing at the moment. It's a piece of work that we do as part of the sort of PSA contract, and it's on behalf of DWP. to give them assurance about the your revenue systems and housing benefit. At this stage, the work is going well, and with no, there's no serious issues to report. I think we might possibly end up with a qualification letter, but I'll report in more detail at the next meeting when we'll have completed the work, and we'll report to you then. On the technical update, I mean, it kind of speaks for itself. I guess the only thing I draw your attention to is the fee for 16-17 external audit will be the same as 15-16. So that's that has been confirmed in the consultation. So I'm very happy to take any questions anybody might have.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from members? No? I think they may come forward possibly at the next stage, I would have thought. So thank you very much, Rob, for that. And that's for information. And then item 12 is to approve the timetable of meetings for 2017-18, if you all want to think ahead that far. So that is agenda item 12 on page 73, last page of your agenda. Does anybody have any thoughts, comments on this item? I think it's fairly self-explanatory. No? Okay. So we just need to approve the timetable for next year. So do we need to vote on this?
I think this is one that's going around all of the committee.
Right.
It
goes to the
PNR as well. So it's like a consultation. Yes. So
okay. So we don't actually need to vote on it. It's just for information and any comment. So does anybody have any comment? No? Okay. Thank you very much for that then. I have no other urgent business or business for the meeting, so declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much for your attendance.